Hi, everybody, and welcome to episode 3 of Girl Fight. And first of all, I just want to say we have done it. The boys have caved. We now have the official permission to promote Girl Fight on IGN.
So, woo-hoo!
Yay!
And that's thanks to all you guys, because you put us all the way up to number 2 in the video games podcast last week on iTunes, which is awesome.
That was fantastic.
Feels good to be like, we told you so.
Yeah, exactly.
I knew it.
So, thanks again for listening, and you will now start to see us on IGN proper. So, good things. I am Nicole Tanner. Today, I am joined by everybody.
Yay!
Christine didn't have a lot of work to do today, so she could join us. And then also, we have Megan Sullivan, Jessica Chobot, and Dana Jungle Ward.
Hey, y'all.
And we're going to start with what we've been playing. Let's go the opposite way this time. Dana.
Sweet. Well, I finally made myself get off my kick. I've been reading a lot, and actually I have to do a nerd plug for a book that I've been rereading, in The Name of the Wind, which if you haven't read it, it's an awesome, awesome book, and it's a fantasy book, and I don't tend to like fantasy as a whole, but this book is fantastic. So I was rereading that, but I made myself stop rereading it because yesterday Alan Wake showed up in the office.
Ooh.
And so I took that home and started playing it, and it's very enjoyable so far, but I'm very scared.
I saw it at an event and I was like, this is crazy.
I was sitting on my couch and I'm like, my husband was in the other room and he came in and I told him that night. I'm like, I'm gonna come on, I need to play games, I haven't been playing enough games. And I was like, I'm kind of afraid, I want to stop. And he was like, keep playing.
Can I borrow that when you're done?
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. Well, or you can borrow it when
I
stop playing or get too scared again, because
that's the kind of game you need to play with all the lights on, with somebody sitting right next to you.
I know. I kept trying to get him to come into the room. He wasn't buying it.
That happened with me in Silent Hill, man.
Yeah.
I had to call my dad to come get me out of the living room. I'm like, I'm too scared to move.
I don't like waiting for things to jump out at me. And any time in any game that it's just like suddenly something jumps up, like in Half-Life, when playing that, when that like claw monster tentacle thing comes, and it's just like all of a sudden, and I shrieked. I was playing that in my office at work, and I screamed. And all the boys came running, and they were like, girl.
Whatever, they do it too.
Yeah, they totally do it too. And then the other thing, so at the other end of the spectrum, so today for work, because I've been working on a feature about romance games, like instead of romance novels, and that will probably come up as a topic later on in this podcast once I actually finish the feature. But as part of that, I was playing the game from Passion Fruit Games, which is the romance thing.
How was it?
It's a lot of puzzles with a romance story wrapped around it. So it's not actually what I wouldn't actually classify it as a romance game.
Yeah.
So anyway, those are the two things. I would say Alan Wake, overall better game.
Alan Wake gets your vote.
It's Eye of the Tiger. It's something tiger.
Yeah, it is. I can't remember what it is either.
It's not Eye of the Tiger.
Not Eye of the Tiger, but
that's not
tiger,
right.
Is it Tiger Lily or something?
No, it's Tiger. It's something with Tiger. Go to Passion Fruit Games, and if you've been craving a bunch of mini games with a romance packaging around it.
So is it just like solve a puzzle and then that'll give you some text,
or hidden
like
objects,
you're sort of reading
or
a book?
Yeah, kind of with a series of graphics. Yeah,
yeah, that's the way the Nora Roberts one was too. So
they need to do one like Heavy Rain if they're gonna do it.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I mean, well, in Japan does all that sort of. So you know, they have like actual relationship games where the relationship is the game, not just, hey, here's a bunch of
here's a story.
Yeah.
But we're gonna insert some puzzles into it. So
right.
You have to
just
unlock
kind of
the
randomly
story.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like they did a better job than with the Nora Roberts game, because you talked about that one was kind of ridiculous. But
yeah. Well, ridiculous in the fact that it was a hidden object game, and you know, two people would be talking and then all of a sudden it's like, hey, we're in the bedroom, and then the bedroom is covered with crap, like donuts and fish and all kinds of weird stuff.
Things that really set the mood.
This one they actually try and tie it in. Anyway, I will probably be spending more time with Alan Wake than with whatever the Tiger games.
A quick note on relationship as the game. Konami actually tried that here in the West, and it failed miserably. It
was
called Brooktown High for PSP. And the only reason why
PSP?
I know exactly. That was
right,
that was Konami's problem.
Ooh, zing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean the
saying how much of their target audience has.
Yeah. So in that game, you are a high school student, and you know, you're trying to take your dream person to the prom.
Wasn't there one for the DS too called Sprung or
Very possible.
It was like one of the first games out for the DS.
Interesting.
Like, not DS Lite, but like DS. Right.
Oh, like that Field of Magic?
The ancient one.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was like that, but this one was more like, you got to go talk to the girl, and then you got to convince, you know, like your typical free PC game, like talk to the girl, blah, blah, blah. Except this one didn't end in actually getting to have sex with her. It just suddenly ended.
Yeah.
That's why I stopped playing.
Because it ended?
This is boring me.
Yeah. So that genre has... remains to be proved. I mean, I'm with you. Konami picked the wrong platform for that game. So they were like, oh, Tokimeki is so popular with men in Japan. It's like, you know what? Men over here, not going to play a game like that.
Yeah, because the guys over here get so much...
grief.
That's grief. What I was going to go with.
Well, perhaps My Wife for Xbox 360, which is coming out in Japan, maybe that'll change their minds.
Ooh. Wow. What do you know about, what is
What's
that?
Entirely too much. It's basically... you can try out different wives in this game, but you first date them. And here's the scary part. It's so incestuous. You could have the older sister type, the younger sister type, the...
Wait, your own sister?
Yeah, no, but no,
it's just they act like a big sister?
They act like... Let's just say that you can technically date what looks like an 11-year-old.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and then you can marry her if you think that she is your type. And the mini games include doing the laundry with your wife.
And, well, at least she's not doing it yet with you.
Yeah. It's not like make your wife do the laundry.
And
beat it out of her.
Exactly. And what was the other thing? Sharing a glass of orange juice with her.
Wow. I mean, these are those exciting are some mini games.
Not even a glass of wine. Come on.
Well, you know what? Perhaps.
Oh, I think you. Did you? Can you also just like sleep in bed next to her?
Yeah, you have a
a conversation.
It's sleeping together mode or sleeping mode. Only you don't actually do anything. You just sit there and talk intimately about your feelings. Well, this is aimed at men.
I don't know. Aimed at men. I don't think that's going to go over very well. It's Japan, right? So they'd probably just go for one of the rape games if they were into that.
Yeah.
That's what Christine would do.
That's what I don't know. I'm not going to go for any of that PG. Stuff.
That's not PG. That's you're drinking orange juice and doing laundry. I would say that's a strict G.
Oh. Yeah. I forgot that there was a G category. PG was as low as the go.
Alrighty.
Jess, what are you playing?
Well, nothing. I've been bad this week, again. But I did do some nerdy stuff. So I've been on a big Doctor Who kick now that they have the new Doctor going. I watched a little bit of the old one with, Tennant in it?
Mm-hmm.
Can't remember. Matt Smith, I think, is the new guy's name now or something like that. Matt something. I think it's Smith. Anyway,
I will have no idea if you have any idea what you're talking about.
Okay,
I'm
just going to keep on rocking with it. Anyway, so they just basically launched the new episodes and the new Doctor about 2-3 weeks ago over here at BBC America. And I started getting into the old one, but I couldn't get too into it because by that time I got on too late that I didn't know what was going on.
Uh-huh.
And now I finally am like, okay, well, I'm going to give this one a shot. I was really nervous because I thought, oh, I'm not going to be able to like this Doctor because I kind of had a crush on Tennant. And now I'm like, oh, no, this guy's pretty good. And I really like the Doctor's new companion who I think her name is Amelia Post. And she's super, super cute, like a red-haired Scottish girl. And
go red hair.
Yeah. I tell ya. And it's a great show. So that's what I've been doing. In my spare time, I've been nerding out over that. But speaking of that, if you're still playing Alan Wake, Christine, do we have a copy of Splinter Cell Conviction in the office I can borrow?
That is an excellent question. I do not know.
Sweet. I'm going to bring this up after the podcast. Yes.
Megan.
I've been playing a couple of things that I've been wanting to play, and I've been on my queue forever. But before I get into that, Dana, did you say you're reading The Name of the Wind?
I am.
That's a good book.
That's a very, very good
book.
And if
you, like me, are waiting for George R.R. Martin to come out with his latest book, which I don't think he ever will.
I have never read a George R.R. Martin book.
They're very good, but he is very slow at bringing them out. By the way, George R.R. Martin, nobody cares about wild cards. Get back to... Get back to Songs of Ice and Fire. Yeah. Anyway, so that was my nerd reference of the week.
Okay.
So I played Portal this weekend.
Oh, really?
Excellent game.
So good game.
It's such a it's one of those games I watched other people play it. I'm like, oh, I've got to play this game. It's going to be awesome. Never got around to it. And finally, my boss and I were talking last week. He's like, you've never played Portal. And he practically threw his copy of Orange Box at me. He's like, go play
this
now.
He had it at his desk?
He did. It was kind of crazy. And so I went home.
Boom.
Yeah.
And I played that, and I played Bionic Commando Rearmed on PlayStation Network, which was also really fun. I went real retro this week, so I highly recommend both. They live up to the hype.
Real retro, I love that, a game that came out in 2007.
You know, by our listener standards, perhaps it is.
This is true.
The first image that popped in my head when you said Bionic Commando was the terrible console version, actually. Like the guy, the big meaty guy.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, why would you play that? Like, wait, oh no, the other one. Got it.
The good one. The rearmed one.
The rearmed, recharged. Basically, I've been playing anything.
By the way.
Yeah. Oh, hi, Christine.
Hi.
We should just say our names before we start talking. Christine here. Played Bully. Because you gave it to me, Dana. And,
so you're liking it? Because you're not a big fan of GTA.
I'm not a big fan of GTA. I don't like driving in games. So I don't know why I'm not cool with cars, but if it's a horse, I'm all for it.
So what was Red that Barbie's horse? What was that one Barbie game that came out for Xbox that you got to ride around on the horse?
That I don't know, but probably Hannah Barbie Montana. Horse Adventures or something.
You can ride a horse in the Hannah Montana
game. Do you?
Game.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. This is definitely a Barbie one,
I was thinking more
along
the lines of Red Dead Redemption.
I know.
It was like Barbie's Horse Adventure.
Or Assassin's Barbie. Creed. Yeah. I mean, the only thing I liked about Assassin's Creed was that I could ride around on a horse.
Oh, come on. You didn't like climbing up all this stuff?
And
diving off
of it?
Every time I jumped over the edge, my stomach would literally like go.
Oh, that happens to me in certain games. Yeah, like in Crackdown or something when you're jumping off really, or in Infamous.
Every time I jump off something in a game, I'm like, ooh.
Really? See, I'm always like, yeah.
It's like a roller coaster.
You have the yeah feeling, but you still have the stomach feeling where you're
it's like a roller coaster.
My big thing was to take Lara Croft, and I can't remember which one it was. I think it was the second Tomb Raider game, and there was this one specific tower or tomb that you could climb to the very, very, very top, and at the end there was like this pool, whatever, and I would make her run and dive, and then I'd let her dive, and you know, you could sometimes hit other obstacles and then she'd die, but sometimes if you got it right, she'd dive all the way into the pool. And so then I would sit there and just let her drown. And I'd watch it. And I'd be like,
wow. So you are the kind of person that kills your Sims.
I do.
Yeah. Nice.
I probably would too. But
so Bully, did you like
Bully,
it?
Yeah.
Yes and no.
Okay. What's the no? Because I really liked Bully.
I've just been doing one. I've just been stuck on this one quest that every time I try and get to it, the prefix get me, and I'm like, ah.
Bully, it might be the only Rockstar game that I ever actually finished.
Really?
Because I was like in the GTAs, and then I'd start, and I'm like, oh, this is so fun, and then it'd be something like this stupid helicopter mission in Vice City or whatever, and then I'd be like, forget it, I'm done. Or I just drive around a little and then
you get bored driving around and stuff, and you're like, and then you kill stuff.
But Bully, like, just because it wasn't a gazillion hours long.
Right. I don't like that everybody is a jerk. I would like one person to be nice to me. but it seems like everybody's just kind of an asshole.
But can't you make out with people in that game too?
Yes.
Like you can,
you can give girls gifts and they will just make out with you.
I heard you could actually make out with a guy though in that too.
Really?
Yeah, you can do that apparently.
If I'm remembering right. It's been a long, I mean, I haven't played it since it came out.
I will try that.
Yeah.
They played it on the radio on Greg and Fernando, which was used to be a local radio show, and they had the audio from it. It's like the worst voice acting ever, but it's hilariously like porn bad. It's like, I'm hot, you're hot, what's the problem?
That's awesome.
I will get back to you on that one. I will
Sweet.
Try that.
Yes,
but,
report.
I've been actually neglecting my Pokemon duties.
Oh, no.
Just because, I don't know.
Did you hit your limit?
How many have you caught?
I also hit my limit on Final Fantasy 13.
Oh, God. I hit that limit a while.
Listen, my limit was when I saw the box cover.
Yeah. I got to a spoiler alert to the Falci, like the god battle, and I was like, this guy's insane. How am I supposed to
kill him? Wait, you finished it all the way to the...
No.
There's a trick to that spoiler, and if you're interested, kids, there is a... If you hit him rapidly, and he'll go, he'll kind of, like, grunt, and then you, like, raise everyone's defense. When he does that killer beam thing, it won't hit you as hard. Oh. I had to look that up, actually, I think... like the first like 10 times I died and I'm finally like, I'm gonna look this up, and then it's like, oh, that's what it is. So you hit him rapidly enough and he'll kind of grunt, and then you raise all your defenses and you'll be able to make it through that.
See what I heard, because I was really frustrated and I asked Clements, okay, what do I do? And he said, oh, you need one of the shrouds, like wouldn't you with your shrouds? I was like, oh, I sold them all. I didn't know what I was supposed
to
do.
Yeah, I didn't have any left either. But there's actually a trick. If you hit him rapidly enough, like all really fast, so and chain him.
Because then he was like, well, you need to go back now and, you know, before the
end of the to Ryan Clement. Yeah.
So like, that's why I that. Stopped.
He
so
liked maybe Final Fantasy work. 12. Boo. Don't get me started on 12. I have problems with it. You
13 is the first one I've ever played. So, well, that's a lie. I played part of 7, but I haven't finished it yet. Anyways.
Aris yeah. dies.
I know. I didn't know that until the video feature we did where, like, they put in farting noises at inappropriate times. And then I was like, oh, well, that just ruined the game for me. Cool.
Yeah. My best Guess friend I gave that a statute away of limitations I did on that battle. One.
Yeah.
Like,
I know.
She aware. Called me the first time I played that game, and she was like, so what do you think of this, this, and this? I was like, wait, what are you talking about? I'm playing the game right now. And she's like, oh, you know, when Aerith dies. And I go, what? And I ripped her a new one for like 10 minutes on the phone. I was just getting to that part, and I never knew about it. And she spoiled the whole thing for me.
Aww.
And I was just like, oh my God. That could have been a moment.
But actually, now I know, still, you know to choose Tifa. Don't waste my time.
Yeah.
Go with the chick that lives.
What have I been playing? Well, we just got Picross 3D in, and I know you guys are all excited about that, but I actually am. I love those puzzle games. And this one is kind of like a mix of Sudoku and, you know.
Can you explain a little bit? Because I was looking at the box, and I didn't quite get it. And I was like, all right, you break off blocks, and then there's a dog underneath?
Yeah, well, there's...
Sweet!
So, there is some type of item within this large cube of blocks, and there are numbers on the different sides that tell you how many blocks in that row or that column are
I'm
actually in the in the item.
Okay.
So, you know, say you've got a cube that's like 5 blocks high, and then it says 5 on the top. So you know that all those blocks are in there. And then you can mark them.
Okay, I get
then,
it.
Yeah.
You can't crush the dog, can you? Like accidentally
hit it with
blocks and then
well, it doesn't,
gets crushed.
I mean, it doesn't turn into...
Your dog has half a head.
It doesn't turn into like
missing a leg.
An actual dog until you're done with the puzzle. Like, it just looks like a bunch of blocks. And then it'll be like, ta-da, you found
dog.
Whatever.
It was originally called Block
that
Dog.
Box art.
But
yeah.
The box art is misleading then.
It's a little misleading,
because
yeah.
Because, you know, on the box art it shows, like, as you're chipping away at it, there's a little dog in there.
Okay, yeah. I thought you had to rescue the dog. Okay. Like, there are horrible consequences if you don't.
The dog is trapped in cement. You have to chip him out.
That's kind of what I was thinking, too, actually. So I'm just going to keep my mouth shut up until
this
point.
Yeah, I guess that box art is kind of misleading. What else? Oh. Fat Princess on PSP.
Oh, yeah, PSP.
Because
we played that and lost.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah. I don't think... They didn't talk about it on IGN at all, did they? It was Greg too embarrassed.
No, I think probably. So we were part of this tournament the other day for Fat Princess. We made it up until the finals.
Yes.
And then, I don't know what happened. We weren't working together
apart,
as much.
Yeah.
And we lost, barely. And then we didn't get our Kara's Cupcakes.
Right.
What?
Or our PSP Goes with Fat Princess logos on them. But I already have a PSP Go, so I was like, whatever.
Yeah.
So, really? Yeah. He was giving away.
That was like the grand prize.
It was a Sony. It was a Sony event. Yeah.
Oh,
so,
got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
So yeah, it was Christine and I and Greg
and Sam.
Yeah, we're the team, and we were doing really well in our first few rounds.
Who'd you guys lose to?
One Up.
Oh, was that who yeah. So.
We'll go down the street.
You guys
beat
are
him up. I mean, we could totally take him in a real fight.
Yeah.
I love you guys.
What was we should do an Anchorman, like meet him at the 5 points.
Yeah. Totally.
And do a challenge, a physical challenge of kick
we could do
your
that with
ass.
All of the game games outlets.
Yeah.
Game Pro, GameSpot, One Up.
We played dirty
Rumble.
At IGN.
Yeah, yes. Fat Princess is pretty cool. I never played it on PS3, so this PSP is my first exposure to it. It's hilarious. Like any game,
I love the announcer.
Any game that has nom 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 in the text gets my vote.
Yeah.
You know. And the people that were complaining about that game.
I preferred it on PS3 though, because I did play it there, and the PSP is. It's fine, but at the same time, like, you won't have that
it's
chat.
It's not fine. Come on.
You know?
We all know it's
how are you
fine.
Supposed to work with... I don't understand how you're supposed to work with other people, which is the whole point of the game.
Right.
On your PSP versus your PS3, you can actually do that.
Yeah.
They might not listen to you, but you can try talking to them.
Right. Well, you know, if you're sitting all right next to each other, I mean, right, you talk to each other, yeah.
But how often are you going to do
right,
that?
Right, yeah.
That's kind of one of those novelty things, I guess.
Yeah. It's fun, though. I'm enjoying it. So, yeah, so that's what we're playing. So now it's time to move into our serious topic of the week. And you really should know about this topic already. If you don't, then...
If you listen to the Daily Fix, which you should be.
Or read any gaming website in the world, you will know that the Supreme Court of the United States has decided to hear the case about California's law that would restrict the sale of violent video games to minors. And just to give you a little bit of background, so this was a law that was introduced by a...
Leland Yee.
Yes, Leland Yee, who is actually senator or representative?
I don't even remember. He's state
representative from San Francisco, which makes us cringe, introduced this law back in 2005, mm-hmm. actually.
I thought being from San Francisco makes you automatically liberal. Like, what is this guy trying to do?
Well, he is a Democrat, you know.
Yeah, so, he's low-hanging fruit, you know. Yeah. He's gotcha. Like,
Yeah,
I'm
I will
old.
Do something.
Old people
to prove
won't
I
have a problem
power.
With this. Yeah.
Yeah.
The games are harming our children. Blah, yeah. blah, blah.
Yeah, the games, I mean, with all the Democrats, like with Hillary Clinton and everybody, yeah. the
him
games
and,
have been.
Him and Ebert give each other back massage. Yeah,
exactly. Joe Lieberman watches.
I'll pay you a quarter yeah. if you rub my bunion. Ew.
But yeah, the games have just been the thing that the Democrats have grasped onto to try to be mm-hmm. like, see, we understand family values. So. The law specifically says that retailers can be held responsible if they sell a violent game. And this is not, we're not talking about an M-rated game. We're talking about a whole other definition of violence, which I'm quoting from the law right now. Violent video game means video game in which the range of options available to the player includes killing, maiming, dismembering, or sexually assaulting an image of a human being if those acts are depicted in the game in a manner that does either some of the following. Which is like a reasonable person would find it deviant or morbid.
Who's a reasonable person?
Yeah. I know. It's patently offensive.
Right.
To
well, apparently
totally,
you're not reasonable.
And I'm
yes.
totally functional.
Yeah. Well, they don't say functional. They say reasonable.
Yeah. Patently offensive to prevailing standards in the community.
Which community?
Causes the game as a whole to lack serious literary arts. Well, there is legal precedent for the communities or a reasonable person, and that's with the obscenity stuff yep. that has already been held up by the Supreme Court. But that is really...
And you can't sell The Sims to minors, then.
Explicit. I know. It's so vague. And
yeah,
besides actually, you know, just being vague in the description, it also calls for all games imported into or distributed in California for retail sale to be labeled with a solid white 18 outlined in black.
What the hell?
The 18
okay.
shall have dimensions of no less than 2 inches by 2 inches.
On a game box?
Yeah.
Wait, what happened to keeping parents responsible for this?
Yes.
We already have an ESRB. It's completely at the same way that
ding,
we rate like movies and things. Why? What the hell? Don't
yes.
have kids if you can't friggin' raise them. Like, I just
I know.
Don't
I'm with you.
Get
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Okay.
Jessica's right, everybody.
So back to the history. So this bill was passed in 2005 and then signed by our esteemed governor that year as well.
I'm sure he has starred in a few violent video games himself.
Yes.
The Terminator.
This is true.
Yeah. And then shortly thereafter, this was in December of 2005, a federal judge threw it out, said it's unconstitutional. State of California appealed to the Circuit Court, the Ninth Circuit Court, agreed with the lower judge and said it's not constitutional. And so California appealed again to the Supreme Court, which is where we are today. And the Supreme Court has decided to hear the case.
Which is pretty crazy because it's like 1.1% of cases that show up or they take.
Yeah, the Supreme
so
Court
scary.
Only hears a case if they have something to say.
I have suspicions that maybe this is a way of the state of California to garner some money since we're absolutely bankrupt. If we can find that one store or a group of stores that don't label their things properly in the right amount of time, then we can go and find them, and here's some extra money coming in. It would not surprise me at all if that's
the easiest way for them to make money would be on baseball games. Go down there and ticket every single person that blocks the intersection.
Yeah. Do you know how many people ask
well,
me?
Well, no, let's not do that because I'm the one that's not in the intersection.
Christina's only complaining because we actually work less than two blocks from the ballpark, and it is ridiculous.
I mean,
you've been having a lot of day games lately.
You know, another thing too would be just not spend thousands, probably millions of dollars on stupid lawsuits like this.
I totally agree. Yeah. It would not surprise me if the underlying little like brouhaha that actually is occurring.
Oh, I think Leland Yee really thinks that games are vile, evil things.
I'm sure
there
he
to destroy.
Does, but I think that the fact that they keep on trying to get this passed numerous
times. Well, it's him that's leading the appeal.
So
but he represents the state of California because he's the representative that wrote the bill. So Supreme Court only takes cases if they have something to say. So a precedent
hopefully they will say
is going to be
good
set.
For us.
I know, exactly.
Yeah, hopefully they'll say stop wasting our friggin' time with this stupid crap.
That's what we're hoping as well. However, there is something that is kind of troubling in that they just actually heard a First Amendment case and just ruled on it. It was called, I forget what it was. It was like America v. Stevens or something v. Stevens, and I did some research on it. And it basically, what was happening was this guy was making a documentary about pit bulls, and there was footage in his documentary with dogfights, like actually, you know, gruesome dogfight stuff.
Oh, right, I do remember hearing about this.
And so the Supreme Court, you know, the state, wherever he's from, said, you can't do that, cruelty to animals, not protected speech. And so it got appealed all the way up to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said it is protected speech and that the law that they were trying to do was too broad. So having them just ruled on that and then deciding to take the video game case, you know, would make you think that they're not thinking of games in the same manner as that, possibly. Theoretically, yeah. Because if that case applied to it, they would have just tossed it back to the lower court and said, refer to such case, you know, for your stuff. So,
well, everyone else who's thrown it out has used like similar reasoning, right? That it's too broad and it's just unenforceable. And it's just this ridiculous, like there's no way to,
right.
Like there's no way to define like it's an undefinable thing that they're putting out there.
Right, exactly.
If this country ends up like Australia in their video games, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to move.
Or Germany.
I'm going to have to defect.
Australia either.
Yeah, Germany. Although they've kind of loosened up a little bit, haven't they? Slightly, but not...
They always have... I don't think they can have any blood in their games.
Yeah.
I think
they always have
to have bloodless versions of games. No blood.
Really? I thought Germany was... Okay.
No, Germany's really
I just
bad.
Remember when we go to GC...
They're worried that they're going to trigger them all again.
We always see...
Sorry. That was rude. I'm more than half German, so don't come at me, Germans.
but like they always have their stuff kind of sectioned off, and you have to show ID in order to go play the adult 18 and above games or whatever you want to call it. But so I thought that was kind of where it limited itself.
I think that's just there at the show. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they have special versions of...
I don't think they released Gears of War there. Is that right?
Entirely possible.
I think there's lots of things that haven't been released there.
I knew that for a while a lot of the Call of Duties and things of that nature couldn't get released over there because it had to do with World War II. Wasn't that the case? And then when it became
Worlds at War
or something that was considered futuristic, that's when you were able to pick up those titles only.
Without blood.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they don't want to be reminded that they almost tried to destroy and kill everyone.
I think what's interesting is that this California representative is saying that the ESRB is not enough because apparently they're in bed with the games industry and they, you know, watch each other. And one of his arguments was, you know, oh my God, there's, you know, 800 hours of footage, you know, of animated footage in these games and parents can't, you know, look at all of that. And I was like, the giant M, and underneath it says alcohol, violence, sexual references.
Just like a
movie.
And that's not even counting when you're a parent and you buy one of these game systems and you're hooking it up to your TV. It pops up right away. Hey, do you want to put parental controls on? Come on.
What else do I need to help you wipe
your own ass too? I mean, what more do you people want?
Your discretion advised.
In defense of parents, though, the ESRB has done tons of studies on this. The majority of parents know the ratings, they understand them, and they use them. So this really is a political thing. thing most parents do not want.
It's low-hanging fruit. Yeah. It's the same as back in remember, and well, you youngins probably don't, but I know that I remember, you know, like back in junior high and high school, and it was, and rap was what was on trial,
right.
And
yeah.
I think it was Joseph Lieberman back then, too.
Well, I mean, yeah. Elvis Presley was on trial.
Right. This is true.
I mean, it's just, it's every generation, you always got the ones that are, you know, whining that they're dying, and they want to ruin the party for everybody.
Well, you can't blame the ESRB, because I actually saw when GTA 4 came out, because it's an extremely controversial game, they showed parents with their 12-year-old kids, and the one lady was like, I don't care. And it was kind of like, ESRB cannot do anything. See the big giant M? See how that's your 12-year-old? Yeah. See the, you know, screenshots on the back? I mean, what else can they possibly do?
These are the same people who are bringing their 6-year-olds into Saw, whatever, Saw 8 or whatever they
are on now, too. Or something like that. It's really not a movie for 5-year-olds.
Right. Yeah. I do not agree with bringing children into movies like that. But if you want to give your kid a violent game, that's like should be the parents' own prerogative.
Yes, it is the parents' choice.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I grew up watching, speaking of The Governator, every, you know, James Cameron action movie that there was, and I've never hurt another human being in my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
You know, I haven't picked up a gun and shot anyone. I'm one of the original Mortal Kombat players. Well, I'll never tell you.
I was not allowed to watch violent things, but I do say I want to hurt people a lot.
See, exactly. I was not allowed to watch You Can't Do That on Television on Nickelodeon.
What?
And now I want
we didn't even have
to
cable.
Just do a rampage. Like, after
you
this, I might
angry.
Go outside. Hey, there's a reason I have a Hello Kitty AK-47 on my desk.
What was... Wait, I have to know. What was the reason for not being able to watch You Can't Do That on
no
Television?
I have no idea. When I would ask my mom, from what I remember, because it's been years, I believe her response was, "That's trash TV. You don't need to be looking at that. Go outside and play." But here's the thing. Yeah. It wasn't so much go outside and play. She wouldn't let me watch it at my friend's house either. Uh-huh. So if I went
to
my friend's house and snuck
I would totally sneak and watch Days of Our Lives at my friend's house.
Well, I would. Well, I mean, I wouldn't choose that one, but I would sneak over, and she would call over there sometimes and check. Yeah, well, I was the firstborn, so I was the one that had to pave the way and break my parents for my siblings, which I did an exceptionally good job at.
I was a good kid.
Remember how Mortal Kombat was going to be the end of the world because it was so violent?
Oh, God,
I'm one of the original players. Again, I haven't killed anyone.
And now you look at that game and you're like...
I like our standards, our bars. Have we killed someone? No.
No.
There you go.
But they keep saying, you know, these appeal to the worst delinquents and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, you know what? If my parents say no or they're there to explain, you know, that's not okay in real life, then my parents taught me better than that.
Well, and the other tentpole of this thing is that they're arguing that games have no socially redeeming values.
Correct.
So, like, there is nothing, this does nothing good. Which, actually, there was just a study done in the Netherlands.
Yes, that shooters are good for your brain.
Woo-hoo. Yes.
Totally makes sense.
Yeah, yep. I know.
As
I mean,
sports,
any
kind of anything that causes you to think and
hand-eye
react.
Coordination.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And,
It's supposedly develops higher level cognitive thinking skills.
I would totally agree with that.
Yeah,
I can't imagine fighting games like versus like a Capcom versus Marvel or whatever doesn't also have the same thing because you're always trying to think ahead. What's the other person going to do? And then if they become, you know, you go against a person that switches up their gameplay, you have to adjust yours as well. So you're constantly thinking and judging distance and speed.
Well,
and
I mean,
the game.
You could say that about just about any game.
Exactly.
Puzzle games like Zelda, trying
God
to figure
of
out
War
the puzzles.
God of War is educational. It is. I learned a lot about Greek and Roman mythology. The war.
And we also had, I don't know if you've run it on MSN yet, but one of our freelancers wrote an article about how games have helped people with depression and things of that nature, just help to help them to recover.
I have not run it yet, but
Yes.
Kind of that escapism fantasy world thing.
Yeah. You know, I don't know how many people are familiar with, like, severe depression, but for those people that experience it, like, getting out of your head is,
key.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so being able
like
to play
zenning.
Something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, when you play, I mean, maybe this is saying bad things that I get sucked into it so much, but, you know, if you get into a really in-depth game that has a good storyline and you start falling in love with the characters like Alistair, I mean, I get done with those games. I'm like, I feel good.
By the way, if you look like a video game character and you want to show us a side-by-side picture on our Facebook page, that would be awesome. If you look
just
like
faces,
Alistair
please.
Or Isidre, yeah.
Yeah, just faces. Yeah. Good call, Christine. Just faces and comparative photos, not just your photo, but both.
Yes.
Also, Megan, I'm gonna call you out. Megan saw Alistair walking down the street in San Francisco. She's on the hunt for him right now.
And she rolled down her window and yelled at him.
Yeah, yep. I almost said, marry me! And then I realized my dad was in the car, and I was like, I'll save that one for the next time I see him. The next time I see him, it'll be different. I'll be by myself.
You should just go camp out on that corner.
Yeah, exactly.
I should wait for him to walk by.
Hello! It should be a video feature for IGN. I'll just drag Scott Bromley to First and Howard and just wait for him to stick out.
No, don't take Bromley.
Why are you bringing Bromley?
Do you want
to get this guy?
Yeah. No, but we have to make it an IGN, video feature.
Yeah.
And we'll find something better for you.
Yeah. Bromley has to hide.
Not Bromley.
He has to hide behind the bushes. Anyway.
So to wrap up our Supreme Court discussion, this isn't going to happen anytime soon. The Supreme Court isn't hearing the case until their next session, which is in October. Hmm. So that is when the decision will be coming down, and I'm sure...
So hurry up and age fast so you can buy some games.
If you want to get a violent video game, now is the time to do it.
That's right. Yeah.
And I'm sure we'll be talking about it again once we have the decision. So let's move on to some questions.
Yay.
Thanks, everybody, for your questions. We've been getting a ton of them.
And fanfic.
And fanfiction, yes.
Thank you to whoever had me battle Gary Busey and turn into Wonder Woman. You're now my new favorite fan for IGN Girl Fight.
I think that's Lieutenant Kirby, actually.
I think it was, too. Now that I mentioned it, I think it was.
So we've been getting tons of questions, so we'll try to get through as many as we can, but apologies if we don't get to yours. Don't hate us. Keep listening.
They could never hate us.
Yeah.
Weird girl.
Okay, so first one comes from Brian Slaughter, and he says, building on the topic of video games as art, is whether or not a game innovative or derivative a factor in you choosing to play it, and does it influence your enjoyment of the game? Also, if a game is highly innovative but flawed, are you more willing to overlook its flaws than a derivative game?
Ooh, that's kind of a good question.
Well, it depends on what kind of flawed. Like, if it's flawed in that it's hard to play, like, because a lot of stuff's broken, then no.
Yeah. Right.
Then I don't care how innovative it is. If I just feel frustrated and annoyed,
I think Scribblenauts is a good example.
I was just going to say that. Yeah. Scribblenauts, which had one of the best concepts ever, but there were definitely very frustrating things about playing it.
You couldn't move them around.
It's hard to move around. You could accidentally do the wrong stuff. And
An example on the flip side of that, like for me, would be Heavy Rain. I agree with Jess that the controls were really hard, but for me, I was willing to kind of overlook the tank controls where you're walking one way and looking the other way because I really liked the story and I thought it was really interesting. So I tend to be more forgiving in general if I'm liking the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. I think that's a good way of kind of coming up with the summation of it is if you're enjoying yourself, does it really matter? I mean, at the end of the day, or if you're having fun, I mean, there's no such thing, in my opinion, as a perfect game. There's always going to be, just the way that technology is, there's always going to be inadvertent flaws and things like that.
Right.
I think something like 3D Duck Game Heroes, that's not an original game. Yeah, that's basically a carbon copy of Zelda, but it's still, people really enjoy it. So
you know, the first God of War, the second, and the third are more of the same, but I still really, really enjoy playing all those.
Countless numbers of other games.
Yes, exactly.
Though I do have to say, I do truly appreciate when people try something new.
Different.
And I usually end up more disappointed if I don't enjoy it because I feel like I should.
Yes.
But that's my own personal problem and not, you know, I'd much rather see a game company try and then maybe fail the first time, but then come up with a better version of it the second time.
Right.
Than not try anything at all and get nothing but rehashes.
I really enjoyed Mirror's Edge and like the concept of it. And I was disappointed like certain points of execution just didn't come together because I was like really looking forward to that game.
Did you play
I also hated those assurance cut scenes. What the hell is up with that? Like, you spent all this money showing us this like great CGI girl hot, and then all of a sudden it's freaking insurance during the cutscenes.
But I was gonna ask, did you play that on the PS3 or on the 360?
PS3. I don't own a 360.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Interesting.
Do not own it. Although Fable 3 and a couple other games might change my mind if Peter.
Fable's good.
Fable 2 was awesome. I got to play that on Christmas vacation.
I thought it was completely underwhelmed.
I didn't play it.
A lot of people thought
that game. Yeah, me too.
Well, a lot of people are like Peter... What
Molyneux.
Is his name? Molyneux. Thank you. I cannot think of his name for a second. Where he just constantly, you know, talks out his hat. And
well,
it's
he's
like,
crazy.
Yeah.
He totally is.
But now that he has John Cleese on board to do one of the voices of Fable 3, I was like, now I kind of have to get an Xbox.
And they also, which totally...
freaked me out in a happy way. They also got one of my favorite BBC presenters, this guy named, oh man, I think his wife had some sort of tie into Kick-Ass. She, but his name, I keep wanting, his nickname's like Woolsey.
Okay.
I can't, I am breaking out, but I'm also, but I'm also breaking down on what his name is. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he's a, he did this whole Japanorama, BBC kind of thing. And then all of a sudden now I found out that they hired him for Fable 3. Also, since I'm on my huge British kick lately, mm-hmm. Neil Gaiman is going to be showing up in,
interesting.
In Doctor Who soon before this year is over.
There you
I'm
go.
Just Ooh. So excited. I need to go and move to London and find a scrappy young English boy.
Talks like a Scottish person?
Who sounds like a Scottish person.
Steve Valentine is mine. It's off.
Okay, next question from Rob Hughes, actually from England.
Woo-hoo! Oh,
jackpot.
Bonus!
If you're dreamy, send put a picture on our Facebook page.
Right, exactly.
If you look like Alistair and sound like Alistair, you know.
Do you find that when playing sequels such as GTA 4, Splinter Cell Conviction, or something like Forza 3, if you've already played lots of the earlier games, that the game mechanics aren't as interesting anymore, and you don't play them anywhere near as much as you would have expected? Also, do you think that RPGs don't suffer this problem, as the focus of the game is the story and fantasy, like reading a book, as opposed to the gameplay?
That's a very long question.
I kind of actually stopped paying attention about
it's kind of, well, it's kind of the same as the last question.
Well, it's just basically like if you've
do
got,
you play sequels as long as the original. Right. And yeah. I would say for me, Viva Pinata is a great example of this for me. I played so much of the first one. The second one came out. I was so excited for it.
Yeah.
Because it fixed a lot of the problems that Viva 1 had. And then, I mean, I played a bunch of it, but I have not played that game nearly as much.
I think, that actually may be true, because I didn't play Burnout Takedown nearly as much as I played 3.
Yeah, but then you've got Uncharted 2, which I played a ton of.
Yeah, and, I mean, I played all the God of
Wars. And I never even really finished
Uncharted
1. I mean, I played a lot of it, and then I kind of had to put it down for something else.
Well, but if it's
in, and I was like, I didn't care. But then, like, Uncharted 2 hit, and I played it, and I couldn't put it down at all.
Right.
I think if it's a story-driven game that's different than, like, a racing game or a sports game.
Yes.
Or...
I'm the, it's yeah, something
but he
that can
Splinter Cell Conviction in there, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Yeah. I'm just saying for me personally, I'm there with you in that, like, a story, if it's something I really like, then I'll play it all the way through.
Oh, yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, I would never play a driving game at home. I'm bored out of my mind.
Yeah.
All right. We have a question from a female.
Yay!
This comes to us from...
Yeah, Christine!
From Colette Shiri, if I mispronounce your last name. And her question is, how do each of you deal with rude comments by male gamers when playing online multiplayer games?
Mute button.
Yeah. I don't play online.
I know, exactly. Yeah.
If it's an online game, I only play with friends I call beforehand, and I'm like, hey, I'm playing Red Dead 2. Let's get on here.
Yep.
Or that's it. I don't play.
I taught junior high once. I don't need to return to it again, because that's about the...
Yeah.
I went through junior high once.
Yeah.
I'm done with the
typically
well.
Don't play.
I work at IGN. And so...
Yeah, I typically don't play with strangers either, but I have played some of the smaller XBLA games, like Catan and those things against strangers. And I did have one time I beat this...
Do you voice chat or no?
No, I just turn it off.
Okay.
And especially, like, sometimes people just get on there and just... I don't know if they're lonely or what is going on. They're like, blah, blah, blah. Shut up. I don't
know. Oh, you mean like having a conversation with
them? Yeah, or with themselves in some respects. Yeah.
Oh, like when they talk to themselves and they're acting like they're really cool and they're like, I just totally shot you, man. Hey, guys, check it out. I totally shot that guy.
Yes, stuff like that.
Like, shut up.
Yeah, I know, exactly. I'm like, shut up. But I did have one time, this wasn't voice chat related, that I beat this guy in Catan because I was trying to get all the achievements and you have to win something like 50 multiplayer battles. And I beat him, and then I got, it's like, you know, pops up, so-and-so sent you a message. And so I looked at the message, and it was just, bitch. And I was like, report.
Nice. Yeah.
You should have replied back, it's not my fault, you suck.
Yeah, you should just reply back, suck. Send. Awesome. Because you know he'll check it, too. He won't be able to resist it.
Yeah,
he'll
totally
check it. I've heard some nasty voice things from, I think it was Clements got, like, they sent him a voice message, though.
Oh.
I couldn't understand what he was saying because
he
had a weird accent and he was mumbling. So I was like, I think he's insulting you, but I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, yeah, there's a couple of guys here that have gotten like weird, they voice, get weird messages. Voice messages.
My boss actually got a death threat on his voicemail at home or something like that. And
from
this
someone
guy,
he had played a game with?
I think it was actually on an IGN message board or something. Oh. And this guy bent over backwards to get his like home phone number or something, like left a death threat message, and you know,
see,
it's like,
good
and this
Lord.
Is why I will no longer be having a home phone.
Yeah, that as well. Yeah, not so much. That's that just it irks me enough that that makes me want to hunt that person down and turn the tables and be like, guess what? Surprise! I'm gonna show up at your house.
Preemptive strike.
With my taser.
Yes, your awesome taser.
And video did you games get one don't of the make you dead to rights whistles to go along with your
not.
Taser? I can give you one.
I would love one.
It doesn't work without a dog named Shadow, though, so...
You nerd.
Alrighty, so next. And now we've got a question from Australia. We have very many international listeners. So,
sorry, Australia, for my comment earlier.
Yeah.
So, we like your country, just not your game policies.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure they feel the same way if you're a gamer. You're just like,
beating your head against the wall.
Your candy's pretty good, too.
So, let's see... I'm trying to get the basis for this question here. So,
can you not read it because it's in Australian?
No.
Just kidding.
No, it's really long, and I'm trying to condense it.
To get to the question.
So he's talking about how, you know, he can watch his girlfriend play some games, or she can watch him play some games, and it's actually interesting to watch someone else play the games. So but on the flip side, some games are completely boring to watch. So he wants to know, what game has your significant other played or is playing that makes you absolutely cringe or die from boredom? Final Fantasy 13. My husband's playing right now. I have to not be in the room.
Watching my husband play Fallout because he's an obsessive collector, or he's done playing Fallout 3, but like he would go back, he bought the house, and then he would like just spend so much time rearranging his supplies like in his lockers, and he was like, oh, I need,
you know,
this, and
do?
Like sorting through like inventory, like in any sort of
he
game that has inventory stuff. Yeah, no,
you
it's insane, and I just want to kill him. Yeah.
That you should buy your husband a dollhouse.
He's an architect. He can build himself one.
Yeah. So that's why he likes it so much.
He just, like, he's inventory-wise, like, we can't do... This is why we've never been able to do anything, like, back on PS2, like, with the Baldur's Gate Dark Alliance stuff that came out. Like, we had a hard time playing together without beating each other over the head because he kept stopping to check his inventory. And I was like, oh, my God! Play.
Yeah. My husband has always been really crazy with the Final Fantasy games, and I haven't really watched him play 13 very much, but like the older ones, I would sit and watch it sometimes, and he would be the person that would run around in a circle in a field to get the random battles just over and over and over and over again to level up, and I was just
level grinding.
I would actually say that I can't watch my husband play most games because the way his playing style is so different than mine, and he likes to kind of meander and explore and try and break the boundaries where I'm like, you're supposed to go over there, just go.
I'm like your husband.
Yeah.
You'd hate
so I would
me.
Yell at you
you
too.
Would yell at me a lot.
I would just leave the room.
I've never been in a situation where I haven't been able to watch somebody play. That's really odd. I don't know why, but I'm a lot like your husband, how he plays, because I always want to see, how far can I go this way until I hit the end of the world?
Right.
Maybe there's something beyond that. And, so I'll do that. And I think I had Fran over one time watching me play Dragon Age,
of course,
and he gave me an earful of, why are you so weird, and you know, this is your
why
third
are you licking
through,
the screen every time
I will say I will say it is the best feeling in the world when he gets stuck and I get to help him. And not
awesome.
And this is not saying
proving
that I'm any
superiority.
Awesome gamer, but it is where it's like, oh, you need a headshot, babe. Boom. There you go. Or you can't figure out where to go. There you go.
There's one other game that I can't watch my husband play, but not because it's boring, but that is BioShock. And I can play it fine on my own, but if I watch my husband play it, I get motion sick like mad.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that's the only first person game that's
crazy.
Does that to me.
Is it because it's so dark? Kind
possibly.
Of? So
I don't know.
You can't really differentiate foreground.
But you can
background.
Play it yourself.
But I can play it myself with no problem.
That's so odd.
Yeah. Yeah, huh. It's really weird.
Mm. How about you, Greg? Anyone else? I watch Greg play so many bad games, I cannot pick this one.
Yeah, is it for work or because
for
he's...
work.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I just watched him play Dead to Rights, Retribution. Oh.
Woo.
It actually looks more fun than it plays, like, because then I picked up the controller and was like, oh, dear God, like, this is not what I was expecting, but the dog parts look fun.
Yeah.
The dog looks totally stupid. Which is funny, I have a dog like that at home, so
aww.
I was like, oh, it's Rocky. He's killing that guy.
Good boy.
Megan, you have anything to add?
Not really. I'm trying to think of a game that doesn't make me bored, you know, while watching someone else play it. I think Portal, which I mentioned earlier, is one game I actually watched mostly because of the droll commentary in the background.
Yeah.
So it keeps everyone entertained. And I think if two people are playing a fighting game and it's actually a good round, that's fun to watch. But everything else, I'm just bored out of my mind. Mm. I mean, it's not like a movie or anything. Because it's interactive, you want to be part of the experience.
Okay, next question comes from Daniel Macedo, who is a computer science student.
Another girl. Yay.
Daniel.
Oh, Daniel.
Not Daniel.
I thought she said Danielle.
Sorry.
Sorry, we're excited to hear from you too.
Wants to know if any of us have ever played EVE Online.
No.
Nope. Yes.
Okay.
For all
Jess.
Of
Jess,
3 minutes.
What did you think about it?
And I was like, this looks cool. What the hell's going on? I'm bored, frustrated by.
Yeah, it's not a casual game.
No.
Not a game you just pick up and play for an hour every now and then.
Who sits next to us?
Nick Colin.
He's playing that. Or he was playing that maybe about a week or two ago. Yeah.
And Ryan Scott has been a big EVE Online. Ryan Scott has been a big EVE Online fan over the years. So I don't know if he's still playing it, but I know he has been very intensively into it.
That company actually sent me to Iceland. But not to talk to the EVE Online people. It was to talk about a potential job. Potential job. Today, Junior.
Were you going to be EVE?
I think they had just just acquired White Wolf. And I was, back in the day, a big LARPer for White Wolf the Masquerade, Vampire the Masquerade. So they had a job opening, and I considered leaving IGN for it. So one of the interviews took place in Iceland, so I went there.
Well,
for
good
that.
Thing you didn't.
I have a funny White Wolf story, but I don't think I can tell it.
Yeah, I would have. Actually, that would have been
bad.
My situation.
Ooh. Yeah. But leading off EVE Online, we got another question that just asks if any of us play any MMORPGs, and if so, what do we play?
I have been a WoW player at times, but I haven't been able to play it for the past year and a half because I just don't have time.
You have a baby.
I don't play any MMOs.
Since I've had a kid.
Because my husband plays MMOs, and I see how much time he sinks into them, and I just, like, forget it. Nope.
I've more than dabbled in WoW, but then it's touch and go, like you said.
Right.
I tried Final Fantasy Online 11, and it couldn't stand it. And then from there went to, was it Aeon or Ion?
The one from NCSoft?
Yeah, NCSoft. And then they had a bunch of, what was it? Gosh, it's been a while. It was a free one. Free in the sense that you bought the game, but you didn't have to pay the monthly fee. It's another
NCSoft.
I keep wanting to say Neverwinter, but I don't think
that's Neverwinter Nights is not an RPG series.
I'm totally blanking out. Anyway, they had a whole series of those that came out that I played, and then City of Heroes I played for a while, but then that was
Really gotten much more than just dabbling a little bit. Like, I played about 2 days worth of it's infecting. See, you're infecting me.
It's my stuttering. I don't know what's happening today.
What's their faces? They live in Scandinavia somewhere. They're Finnish. It was the big
Anarchy
gory
Online?
One. Yeah, it was the Anarchy Online guys. And what did they put out after Anarchy
Conan?
Online? Conan. Thank you. I played Age of Conan for about 2 days. Yeah. And then I was like, eh.
Sorry. Yeah. I'm thinking, because Nick Cullen, our MMO editor, sits in front of me. I played WoW a little bit on his computer, but then one day I accidentally killed a cat and I cried. I didn't cry. But I was like, oh no!
You killed a cat?
It was so funny.
I literally just got into the game, was wandering around, and I got the quest to go kill five, like, worm things. And I'm like, all right, so I go over there. And while I'm walking over, I'm like, oh, a kitty. And I pushed a button. I'm like, oh, you know, I'll interact with it. And oh, I slashed it in half and killed the cat.
Oh, and she screamed out loud in the office, like, oh! And I was like, what?
I think I just went, I think you were the only one there, too. Yeah. I just went, no! And then I took off my headphones.
She's getting visibly upset right now for that.
Christine's
face is bright red, and she's trying to hold back the tears.
Moving on to Conan. Poor Kitty and Wow.
Yeah.
But we decided to he's like, I thought there were supposed to be boobs in this game. Where are the boobs?
Right. Yeah.
Topless chick. Wait, who said this? You
it was
said
an M-rated.
Well, I did, and Nicole was like, yeah, where are the boobs? We were wondering where the boobs were. So we asked Charles.
They're on IGN Girl Fight.
What boobs?
Oh, yeah. See? No, I'm just kidding.
But see real what fake I did ones. There?
Yeah.
So we made a female character, mm-hmm. and then apparently you can just undress them and you can run around the world naked, topless.
Well, that's stupid. You can do that in WoW, too. I mean, you can't take off the underwear, but you can...
No, you can take off the underwear. You can see nips, underwear, like...
Oh, really?
You just have, like, a thong on and then nothing on top, not even, like, a little bra.
Can you take the panties off, too?
I don't think so. Nope, panties are on. Boobs are out.
What about the guys?
They can be topless, too.
They can be topless. Yeah, they can be topless, too. Exactly.
It's an equal opportunity.
Yeah, it is. Completely equal. How are we doing on time?
We've probably got time for one or two more.
Okie dokie. This comes to us from Gabriel Talavera. And he said he's wondering because he was playing Modern Warfare, Modern Warfare.
Oh, really?
It really is.
You are affecting all of us.
Affected the group.
Modern
like
Warfare
an alien.
2. And more times than not, if a girl speaks or a kid with a childish or whiny voice, well, that could mm-hmm. be an adult too, speaks, they're immediately harassed by just about all the other players. And so I was wondering if situations like this have caused any of you to not speak into the microphone when playing any multiplayer games.
I think we kind of covered that.
Yeah, we already covered that. We don't play them. Or we play them on mute.
Although,
or with friends we know.
Or people we know. For the rare occasions before I learned my lesson where I did play mm-hmm. online, which did not last very long, anytime that somebody would, 9 times out of 10, the people that were picking on me were younger kids.
Yeah.
Guys or girls, who knows, but younger kids, and so they'd have these voices. So what I would do is I would respond back like, oh, I'm 12 years old and I haven't grown a pube yet. I can't da, 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 da. And then they'd get so mad. And I'm like, hey, you started it, you little brat. Like, you have a problem. Get your mom on this mic and her and I are going to have some words. So, yeah, but then I realized, wow, I'm really immature, and so that I stopped doing that.
Okay, next question from Brian. Brian doesn't want his last name read. It was his birthday last week. Happy birthday, Brian. And his question is, what's the best present you've ever gotten for your birthday, Christmas, etc.? Not necessarily gaming.
I've got a really good story about this, but
go for it.
It's kind of, okay, so back in the day, mm-hmm. when I was married, because mm-hmm. I was married once, and for Valentine's Day, my husband had suggested, he asked me, like, what do you want for Valentine's Day? And I'm like, oh, really? Okay, awesome. I want a PlayStation 2 for Valentine's Day. And he said, really? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, oh, okay. And then that was all I had heard of it. So then I think this whole time that he's going to buy me a PlayStation 2. Oh, this is so good. So I go out and buy a $500 or $300 to $500 special golf
thing
driver yeah. of some sort, and you know, wrap it all up nice and whatever, and it came with some free, I don't know, something or other, mm-hmm. let's just say golf balls, I don't really remember what it came with, but it came with something free that was applicable to this thing, but could still have been its own separate gift,
right?
So Valentine's Day comes around, we go to dinner or whatever, we come home, we're getting ready to give each other gifts, and I pretend that that this was all I had gotten him, was this mm-hmm. like free gift that I had gotten. And, you know, I'm like, here, honey, gotcha this. And he's like, you could kind of see, he was like, oh, thanks. But he was like a little bit disappointed. And I'm like, haha, I'm just kidding. Here's this $500 awesome friggin' golf
driver.
Dinger.
Club.
Thanks.
I can say we'll see you out on the links this year.
hey, that's sport. Here you go, babe. And I'm thinking I'm getting the PlayStation 3. He's like, oh, and he's all excited. How are you? This is awesome. So then he's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, where's mine? Where's mine? I'm like, PlayStation
bag. PlayStation 2, yeah. So he comes out with this bag, and it's Victoria's Secrets. And I'm like, what?
Oh,
and so he
no.
hands me this Victoria's Secret bag, and I open it up, and it's white. First of all, white. We're already married. We've been married. White lingerie. Like, really? Why would I wear this? And then, like, I think a box of, like, mall chocolate bonbons or whatever. Now, I don't mean to sound like a dick, because I know it's the thought that counts, but you've got to be friggin' kidding me. I threw such a fit that I actually made him take it back to the mall and return it and come home with a PlayStation 2. Shortly thereafter, we were divorced.
Not
but I
that,
still have the
that.
PlayStation 2.
So that happy, would actually happy be ending, what you're saying. The worst gift.
The worst that turned into the best gift.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
I will say that I told my husband when I was coming up to my 30th birthday, and I was like, 30, like, we don't usually do a big deal, but I was like, 30, I want it to be a bigger deal than normal. Like, I don't want this to just, like, pass by and be like, okay, great, we went out to dinner and then that's it. And he did 30 days of birthday.
That's so awesome.
It Our was man. Amazing. Although by
Can
the end, he was like,
tell my boyfriend?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, and sometimes it was like, okay, we're meeting out all our friends for happy hour today, or today's flowers, or today's, like, so it would, you know, it was a combination of gifts and events, but it was amazing. Although it was very stressful because I'm a couple years older than he is. So then I was like, crap, now I have a 30th birthday to live up to afterward. Yeah. And he also said, does this get me off the hook until you're 16?
That's 60 days of
birthday? It was really hard. Yeah. So, and then actually then the next year he had asked, he's like, what do you want for your birthday? And I'm like, I can't think of anything specific. So he didn't give me anything. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, for future reference, just because I say I can't
Not
think of anything
doesn't mean
I don't want something. But I couldn't get too mad given that we were coming off of the 30th.
So what did you do for his 30th?
I took him to Palm Springs.
That's
so
pretty good.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Which, his birthday is at the end of July, but he loves heat. And he was out golfing in like 115 degree heat. Wow. And he was like, there's no one else out on the course. It only
why.
Took me 3 hours. I'm like, yeah, go figure.
Yeah.
Idiot.
I've gotten tons of great gifts from my husband. I do have to give him a shout out. It's hard to pick a favorite one. I guess my most recent favorite one, which would be a necklace that he got me, which I'm not wearing today, but I think is totally awesome. It is a diamond crested skull and crossbones. And,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. Well, he didn't actually pick it out. So, like, the birthday thing was like, jewelry store, get whatever you want.
That's cool, though.
Yeah, so.
Nice. I wouldn't mind that.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's not shabby at all.
Yeah.
No.
Cool.
So, I've gotten a PSP Go. That was for Christmas this year. And then Valentine's Day was Mass Effect t-shirts, Mass Effect art.
You were like, wait, this doesn't count.
It was like Mass Effect overload. And I was like, this is the best day of my life.
Okay. I thought you'd be like, wait, you got all this for free.
No, he bought it off the
store. Oh, he bought it. Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
And like, and the sweatshirt that I...
The sweatshirt. I am very envious of that sweatshirt.
It is pretty
very
awesome.
Envious of it.
Alrighty. How we doing? Cool.
We should probably wrap it up.
About,
oh yeah, Megan. Megan.
Sorry.
Megan,
well, thanks
off.
For getting it.
Sorry.
Getting about me. That's nice. There's a tie. One is a trip to Japan for my birthday.
Oh, nice.
I'm
nice.
A big Japanophile, awesome. So I went there and shopped until I dropped at Chibi Ichimaru-kyu. And then last year, I was actually feeling really, really down last summer, which isn't like me at all. I was really depressed. So I got in really good shape. And then I called Alexis Vogel, who is the makeup artist to the Playboy Bunnies, as well as a bunch of professional actresses and actors down in LA. And she actually does makeovers. So I gave myself the present of having a makeover and photo shoot, which is
awesome,
pretty cool. I'm not naturally photogenic. Mm-hmm. I'm not ugly by any means. But the camera hates me. It just, I don't have the right angles.
I feel your pain.
Yeah.
I've had people take my picture. And then look at the picture and go, what? And like, what happened?
I can't say it's ever been that bad, but I'm
at least
very...
that's what I like to tell myself when I look at pictures.
Yeah.
I'm really not this ugly.
No, but I'm really fair-skinned. I don't have the right angles. The camera doesn't like me. But a professional photo shoot, they know what to do. They know the angles, and they know everything like that.
And they know how to light you that if you don't have the angles, by the time they're done, you do.
Yeah. So they didn't. And the cool thing was they didn't have to retouch up like that much. Like, they barely touched up. So I was quite flattered with myself. But yeah, I would just feeling really, really down. It's like, I'm going to give myself a 30th birthday present that I won't forget. And so I got a bunch of
professional photographers. Thumbs up for me. The only time I've ever been professionally photographed, other than like school pictures, you know, was my wedding. But
which you looked phenomenal in those photos.
Yes.
I loved your hair in those pictures. Yeah. We're totally having girl moments. Yeah. let's just call it what it is. Oh my God, you look so pretty.
Shocking. Yeah, I keep forgetting to post more of them on Facebook, but I will do that. But yeah. Professional photographers, good.
Thumbs
yes.
up around.
Good thing.
All around.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I've only had my senior photos.
Okay, so we're going to wrap it up. Thanks for listening. If you like what you hear, you can review us on iTunes. And please subscribe also if you like what you hear. Want updates from us, you can become, well, not a fan. You can like us on Facebook, facebook.com/IGNGirlFight. And you can follow us on Twitter @IGNGirlFight. And if you have questions, comments, more fan fiction that you
want to
send us.
No, well, we
don't
have to push that. I liked it, but I don't really have a lot of time to read.
If you look like a hot video game character, that's the thing we should push.
Yeah.
If you look like a hot video game character.
And Doctor Who.
Go ahead and do a side-by-side comparison, pictures of your face only, and, you know, if you think you...
Yes, on Facebook. You can post pictures. You're allowed to. And if you have questions, please send them to IGNGirlFight@gmail.com. And we will be back with you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Later.
Oops.